back to Matt Flynn Direct. And you can never have too many mats in a house, right? You got one outside the shower and a couple by the doors. And maybe one outside to brush the dirt off if you're a working guy, right? So welcome, Matt Rothschild. Good to see you.
Hey, Mike. It's great to see you. You're sporting the Willie Nelson look this morning. I like it.
No, man. This is the Aaron Rodgers look. Or he's actually sporting the pizza box, Mike. You know, I was blessed with that game. I saw Aaron on the side looking a little scrubby and long hair and a bandana. And I posted that. I was like, hey, Rodgers, loved the hair. The rest of it, you know. Listen, you can't really practice talking on the radio, can you?
Not really.
But I think you could probably practice in the preseason a little bit, Packers. Wow. I mean, I saw that coming. I don't know about everybody else. But, you know, I was hoping. You know, Rodgers is absolutely one of the best quarterbacks I've ever watched, right? I can't stand Tom Brady. But I will say that, you know, I'll give him a little credit. He, you know, came out and said, hey, this is going to be rougher than last year. Because he knows there's a lot of idiots in his league. The dude that dropped the pass that said he couldn't catch COVID and everybody gave him a, yeah, well, he looks like you can't catch anything, dude. It was fantastic. I looked at him. He's missing a tooth. Yeah, tough looking dude. Stupid looking, too, if you ask me. You got to have that Aaron Rodgers look if you want to look good.
I don't think I can sport it, Mike.
No, well, you know, my mom, she wasn't happy when I decided to stop cutting my hair, but she doesn't say anything now because she knows if I die before her, it will get cut, right?
Ooh, that's cold.
Well, yeah, it is. But maybe I just won't let anybody touch me. I'll have an order put aside that just, you know, throw me in a ditch or whatever that next to somebody's garden. Their tomatoes will be awesome next year. We used to say that about my dad that, you know, when he dies, we're just going to bury him under his tomato patch. And unfortunately, I did lose my dad on September 1st of 2015, but I handled it pretty good. My dad was really hurting at the end. You know, he had survived heart attacks and a stroke, you know, in his late 50s, and I just felt so bad. I'm like, please. And I'm not a praying guy, right? I was like, please, God, you know, don't let this happen to my dad. He's dedicated his life to, you know, children and education, especially single parent families, mostly women with children that, you know, didn't have any help or whatever their husband, you know. My dad understood that and had empathy and started a breakfast program, free breakfast program that Reagan stripped away, right? And, you know, my dad was really powerful when it came to social issues, you know, as an administrator, and almost lost his job in the 60s when he, you know, he pounded his fist on the table and said, look, you've got to have some minority teachers for the population of minority students that we have so they have an adult that they can identify with. He was awesome, man. I never knew racism. You have to learn racism. You really do. And I never did. But, you know, I was like, my dad, you know, this started, I prayed in when he was 57, and he lived to be 80 years old. My dad lived. He didn't die, right? And the same thing's going to happen to me. That's the way I'm looking at this, you know. I mean, you've had some issues, too. Yeah. We understand, you know, and 60's not a bad thing. I remember I was like just dreading it. I'm like, oh, my God, I've thrown away my life, you know. No, it started at 60.
Oh, you've done a great job. I just remember all the activism in the Capitol during Act 10 and you just getting in their faces. It was a beautiful sight to see.
Even people that don't like me now liked that part of me that I've fought with for whatever reason, you know. But I spent my time on the square, you know, talking to people. And I remember one day this dude was sitting on a bench and just depressed as hell. I could tell, you know. He's just bumming. And he looks at me and he says, would you say hi to me? And I'm like, hi, man. Shook his hand, you know, and told him, yeah, man, I care about you. And the guy smiled, man, and felt better. And I found that if I did that every day to people that I saw like that, that was the lift that got him through the day. Sometimes a $5 bill, sometimes a joint, yes. I didn't mind sharing. And I know that people that have mental health issues on the street, that's like treatment, man, all right? The alcohol, bad news. You know, we end up sometimes people without shelter attack each other, right? But most of the time, the people that have no shelter are the victims. They're sleeping and somebody kicks them. Yeah, I mean, if I ever saw anybody doing that now, if I'd have seen the cops doing that to George Floyd, I might have got shot that day. I don't think I could have, you know, I saw all those people and they were just froze, which I can understand. And the same thing might have happened to me. But, you know, Trump, he would have rushed right in, right? Right when the fire started. And why do I mention Trump? Because the dude won't shut his fat ass mouth, right? Sick of that guy. Really happy to see that when he doesn't show up at an event, because he wasn't scheduled, but, you know, Bite the Pillow guys there, Lynn Wood, all these corrupt individuals from the Trump campaign doing a rally for 10,000, man, Friday and Saturday event. One of the problems was it was $125 for general admission. And then some people were paying $250, right? And then if you wanted their special treatment, it was $500. They didn't even get 500 people to show up. They thought they were going to get 10,000. I'm hoping this stuff is starting to sink in on people. You know, where they just drop this politics nonsense about being loyal to a party. Because I'm not loyal to anybody in a party that's doing the wrong thing. What do you think about Joe Manchin?
Well, I heard you before. I agree with you. I mean, come on. You know, if he's going to block all this stuff that we've got to get through here to help people who really need the help and to fight climate crisis, to build our infrastructure back up and to get the economy cooking, you know, what use is having him in the party?
Yeah, well, he says, you know, that none of these things are needed. It's not an emergency, like climate change, you know. So here he is, the son of a mayor, I believe. His dad was a mayor, and he and his brothers got into the coal industry, man. So they're still in that, right? And everybody knows coal is death, and there's no real money to be made in it. But apparently their operation, you know what, maybe they get COVID relief. You know, I do know Robin Voss took $298,000 COVID relief. And I remember how pissed I was that they said, well, somewhere between $150,000 and $350,000. Could you be more specific? Because, I mean, that's a lot of money we're talking about. If I had that kind of money right now, they'd kick me off disability. Isn't that awesome? Right? And so living the way I do, you can work, but you can only make like, you know, whatever it is, $1,100 a month without affecting your Medicare and your... Are you kidding me, man? Well, because like $2,200 a month is too much for a guy to live on?
I mean, it was the same thing with the unemployment benefits. Oh, my God, these people are getting what? $300, $600? That's too much. We can't have that.
Well, yeah, because Lindsey Graham noticed right away they're making more money than when they were working. Yes, Lindsey, because nobody pays people to work. And I know firsthand, man, I worked at least 20 years, two and three jobs. I mean, some days or some, you know, weeks, it only lasted for a couple weeks that I worked over 100 hours because I got so mad at this guy calling me a racial slur about me being Irish. And I gave him one back about being Italian because, you know, the Irish and Italians just loved each other so much. You know, their syndicates were, you know, just, I mean, I've watched some really good movies that were, you know, true stories that, what's that dude's name? The Mike, the Irish guy that, he was just tearing these guys a new one. And they ended up killing him. But, wow, you know. So I've never understood that, you know, what your nationality really has anything to do. And that's why I hate the Olympics. I hate flags, man. I really do. Hey, let's all, you know, put up a flag that makes us different from everybody else. And we're not different from everybody else. That was one of the problems I had with at the Capitol during the protests. You know, one day it's, it's education and they're all wearing their red shirts. You know, and then the next time it's, it's AFSCME and they're all wearing green, right? Why don't we all just show up and wear regular clothes and they won't know who to attack? Because every time you do that, the Republicans go, okay, we could just focus on these guys and just pound on the teachers. And then that Republican mantra, why do I call it a mantra? Because they all say the same thing. You know, it's like word for word, state house to state house. But now I'm enjoying this because they all are putting their stuff out on Facebook and they're just getting tore up. I've never seen that before. I've never seen that where people were willing to speak their mind to corrupt politicians. It's starting to turn, I think.
And I think the Trump fever is starting to break, it looks like, finally. Though I said the same thing on the evening of January 6th, and the fever came back the morning of January 7th, it seems like.
No, man. The fever's here to stay, I think.
Oh, you're killing me.
I know. And I was listening to Tom Hartman, and he's talking about 56% of the young people that were polled from all these different nations, 56% of them say we're doomed, right? And I've said it. Because I actually think we are doomed, because I just don't see the change coming when you got a guy like Joe Manchin can take the whole thing down just like that. And I don't know if you – did you see that little excerpt from the book about Biden telling – he says, Joe, if you don't go along with this budget, you're effing me, man. Well, I'd like to take that a little bit further. Not only are you effing the president, you're effing millions and millions of – working people and their families. What a scumbag that guy is. Okay, so he's the big coal guy. He's a legislator making over 200,000, probably even more, because he's been there longer, right? Where do you see the guy's pension, right? But let's talk about what his family does, right? He's got a daughter that's a lobbyist for the pharmaceutical industry, and she has been caught red-handed through emails of, you know, how can we jack this up without, you know, making it look like this and look like that? They got her dead to rights, right? Let's go even a little further. His wife, and I knew this when I heard this, you know, it's like, God, does every legislator have a wife and a daughter or a son that's, you know, this nepotism crap?
They're all eating at the trough there, Mike.
Well, it is just like, you know, sports. So anyway, the wife is like head of the public education in West Virginia. They're doing real good, right? And she wants to make sure that every school, elementary on up and down, has a good supply of EpiPen available for what? All these kids that are going to become diabetic because you guys are going to put them on an all-sugar diet because we don't feed our kids food anymore at school. Have you seen the food they serve at most of these schools?
No, what's it like?
It's like TV dinners, man. Oof. I mean, wow. We had like farmers' wives that came in and did all the cooking every day. We had like baked chicken, real mashed and gravy, vegetables. I'd even go in and they'd give me like gizzards and livers and stuff like that. I'm all into eating guts, man. I'm all about eating some of that. Right, Alex Jones? I'm gonna get that ass. Anyway, that's where we are now. The food that we eat in this world is just awful. The food that we grew in the 60s and 70s, the fruit and vegetables we were eating, you have to eat 3 to 4 times the food that you get at the store to equal the amount of nutrition that I was getting back then. It's real, folks. That's why I say we're doomed, but we're not. Tom Hartman's right. That's just what the fossil fuel companies want us to think. It's all over. Might as well jump in a car and take a drive and go on vacation. Everybody for themselves, right? And it's been that way for a while, but it's really, really, it goes back to Reagan, all the way back to Reagan, man. That was like the worst, I thought it was the worst 8 years. It was worse than 4 years of Daddy Bush, and then it got worse again with GW, man. And doing the 9/11 thing, that just stirred up all my angst against him again. I, you know, there are these terrorists, you know, we're going to get them all. Now watch this drive as he hits a drive off the tee on a golf course the day after, right? I still, you know, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I think there was a conspiracy in 9/11, and it came from in this country somewhere. I can talk a little bit about that. We'll be back in a few.